We are in chapter 17. Chapter 17 in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and I think that the time has arrived to discuss in greater depth something that I have mentioned to you from time to time. I've mentioned it to you on occasion that one of these days we're going to have to talk about it. The time has arrived. But first we'll learn a few psukim. First we'll learn a few psukim in Perek Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin, as you know, is the story of David and Goliath. Chapter 17. David and Goliath. David has been sent by his father to the camp, and he comes to the camp and he finds out that there's a man, a giant, who comes out and blasphemes the Jewish army and the Jewish community, blasphemes God, and there is no one who's ready to go out and wage war with him. And finally it is David who says he is the one who will do battle with him. The psukim that I want to begin to read with you now, we're going to have to get back to an earlier part of the Perek. But David basically tells Shaul, listen, I was a shepherd, there was a lion that attacked the sheep, and there was a bear, and I did the battle with the lion and the bear. I will be able to go out and wage war with this giant. God is the one who is going to save me. Hu yatzileni miyad haplishti hazeh. Pasuk 37. Vayomer David. David said, Hashem asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari umiyad hadov. God who saved me from the hand of the lion and from the hand of the bear. Hu yatzileni. He will save me miyad haplishti hazeh from the hands of this Philistine. Vayomer Shaul el David. Shaul said to David, Leich go v'Hashem yeimach, and God will be with you. The next few psukim. Vayalbesh Shaul et David Madav. Shaul cloaked David with his uniform. V'natan kov anechoshet al rosho. He put a hat, a helmet of copper upon his head. Vayalbesh oto shiryon. And he clothed him with a coat of mail. Vayagor David et charbo me'al l'madav. And David put on his sword over the uniform, vayo el lalechet, and he tried to walk with it. Kiloni saw, because he had never been tested or tried. He never wore the armor that is worn out into battle. Vayomer David el Shaul. David said to Shaul, lo uchal lalechet be'ele. I cannot go with these. Kiloni siti, because I've never tried them out. I can't move with it. And David removed the uniform of Shaul from upon him. He took his staff in his hand. And he chose five smooth stones from the riverbed, from the wadi. And he placed them in his little yalkut, his tick. Ashelo b'yalkut v'kalo b'yado, and he had his slingshot in his hand, v'yigash el haplishti, and he moved toward the plishti. He drew close to the plishti. Here is another example of something that I say we have pointed out from time to time: the significance of clothing in Sefer Shmuel. At the beginning of the Sefer, we have Chana, the mother at home, who sews a me'il, a garment for Shmuel, and she brings to her son Shmuel a little garment. We had in the chapter before, in that last meeting between Shmuel and Shaul, as Shmuel turns to leave, he tore his garment. And if you will recall, there were a number of opinions as to what happened over there. Did Shmuel tear Shaul's garment? Did Shaul tear Shmuel's garment? or the position that I took, that Shmuel tore his own garment, the me'il. He tore his me'il. Our rabbi said that it was a very special me'il. It grew with him from year to year. The mother had made a little me'il for a little boy, but the little me'il grew from year to year. For that matter, toward the end of the Sefer, Shmuel is going to be raised from the dead, and he's still wearing that me'il. He's wearing that cloak. In this perek, we have very unusual descriptions of clothing. We just now had the description of the uniform of Shaul. But not only is there the uniform of Shaul, we also have a number of psukim that describe the uniform of Goliath HaPlishti, as though it's so terribly, terribly important for us to know. Pasuk 5 and Pasuk 6 and Pasuk 7, three psukim describing his hat, his coat of mail, exactly how much it weighed, the armor that he had over his forehead, everything that he carries with him, all described in detail. I mean, Pasuk simply could have said he was a big man. He was a strong giant. Imagine, all giants, I imagine, are strong. We're not finished with clothing. I want to take you on a little journey. Let's go into chapter 18. Next chapter. Beginning of the chapter. Vayehi kichalotol edaber al Shaul, when David ended speaking with Shaul, v'nefesh Yehonatan nikshera b'nefesh David. The soul of David and the soul of Yonatan. Really, the initiative comes from Yonatan, that the soul of Yonatan becomes completely wrapped up in the soul of David. Vayehaveu Yonatan kenafsho, and Yonatan loved him like himself. Vayikachel Shaul b'yomahu, Shaul took David on that day, v'lonatanola shuv beit aviv, and he didn't give him permission to return home to his father's house. Vayichrat Yonatan v'David b'rit, David and Yonatan made a treaty. Ba'ahavato token afsho, because he loved him like himself. Vayitpashet Yehonatan et ha'mi'il asher alav, Yonatan took off the garment that was upon him. Vayitnehu l'David, and he gave it to David. Umadav, and his uniform, ad charbo va'ad kashto va'ad chagodo, his sword, his bow, and his belt, he gave everything to David. Gave everything to David. On a number of occasions, we're going to have David sneaking up to Shaul, and he cuts a piece off Shaul's garment. But maybe there is there are two other psukim, I would say, that are more important than all of them. In chapter 19, when Shaul is in pursuit of David. So it says that in chapter 19, it was told to Shaul that Shaul now is going to pursue David all over Eretz Yisrael. David has fled from before Shaul. Vayugav Shaul Lamar, and was told to Shaul, saying, he named David ben Ayot ben Ramah. He is in Nayot in Ramah. Where is he? He is with Shmuel. David is with Shmuel. That was Pasuk 18. The David Barak, David fled by Yimalek, and he saved himself. And he came to Shmuel Haramata. By Yaged lo et kol asher osa lo Shaul, he tells Shmuel everything that Shaul has done to him. By Yelechu Shmuel, David and Shmuel go, and they stayed in Nayot. Pasuk 20, Shaul sends messengers to bring David, and behold, as the messengers, the troops of Shaul come to take David, behold, there is lahakat nevi'im nibim, a school of prophets who are saying prophecy. Ushmuel Amedi Chavalem Ushmuel is standing there near them. But the Spirit of God descended upon the messengers of Shaul. They also began to say prophecy. Shaul is told, the men that you said to apprehend David are saying prophecy. So he sends another group. He sends other messages. They also came and they started saying prophecy. By Yosef, Shaul again goes for the third time, and he sends messengers, Shlishim, for the third time, by Yitnabu Gam Hema. They also began to say prophecy. By Yelech Gam Hu HaRamata. Shaul himself now goes to Ramah. By Yavu Ador Gadol Asher Baseichu, he came to a big pit. By Yishal, and he asked, by Yomer, he said, Eifon Shmuel v'David. Where are Shmuel and David? By Yomer, and somebody answered and said, they are b'nayot b'ramah. And you know what happens to Shaul as he comes close to Shmuel? The Spirit of God descends upon Shaul, and he began to say prophecy until he came to Nayot Beramah. He removed his garments, and he also said prophecy before Shmuel. Vayipol Arom Kol Hayom Hahu V'chol Halayla. He fell down there naked all day and all night. Al Ken Yomru, therefore, they said, Hagam Shaul Panivim, is Shaul also amongst the prophets? Now we find Shaul having stripped himself naked. What's the significance of his being stripped naked? There's a great deal over here, a great deal of meaning to what's happening here. I'm going to give you one other source to look at, and that's in chapter 25. I believe it's in 25. No. No, not 25. It's going to have to be later. When David brings the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim, it says that he... this is in Shmuel Bet, chapter 6. I'll read the second. Shmuel Bet, chapter 6. There are many sources that deal with clothing, and this is one of them. Here it is. Chapter 6, Shmuel Bet. David is bringing the Aron HaKodesh finally to Yerushalayim. And it says in Pasuk 14, the David mecharker bekol oz lifnei Hashem, and David was dancing in absolute abandon with all of his strength before God. The David chagur eifod bad, and David is wearing an eifod of linen, a very simple garment. The David bekol beit Yisrael, and David and the entire house of Israel ma'alim et aron Hashem, are bringing the ark of God to Yerushalayim b'trua, with great sounds of the cold shofar and the sound of the shofar. V'hoy Aron Hashem bo'ir David, and behold, the ark of God came to the city of David. U'michal bat Shaul, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, nishkefa ba'ab halon, she looked out of the window. V'teira et ha'melech David, and she saw the king David mefazezu mecharker lifnei Hashem. You don't even have to know the exact meaning of those words. He is dancing with absolute abandon to her ecstasy. But Mefazezu Mecharker described the gyrations of his body as he is dancing before God. But Tivez lo beliba. Michal Bat Shaul looks out of the window, and she sees David jumping around to what to her looks like a meshugana. From the window she sees this, and he was a source of shame in her heart. What happens later is, after it's all over, it's been one of the greatest days of David's life. Pasuk 20, it says, "Vayoshev David lebarech et beito." David returned to bless his house. Vateitze Michal bat Shaul likrat David, and Michal, the daughter of Shaul, came out toward David. Vatome, and she said, "Manichbad hayom hazeh." What an honorable day this was. Melech Yisrael, the King of Israel, asher niglah hayom le'enei amhot avadav, who revealed himself today before the maidservants of his servants. Ki galot niglot achad hadekim, like one of the empty people would reveal himself. A terrible, terrible thing she says to him. You can imagine, one of the greatest days of his life. He has finally succeeded in bringing the Ur HaKodesh to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And as far as she's concerned, this was a shameful display of the king. Vayomet David el Michal. David said to Michal, Lifnei Hashem, before God, Asher Bachar Bimei Avi, who chose me over your father. Umikol Beito, and he chose me over the entire house of your father. Litzavot Oti, he commanded me to be the Nagid, the prince, Al Am Hashem, upon the people of God, Al Yisrael. V'sichakti Lifnei Hashem. I was full of joy before God. So what? Unikaloti Od Mizot. And I would rather be even more shamed than this. Vayiti shafal be'inai, let me be lowly in my own eyes. V'im ha'ima amahot asher amart, and by those maidservants that you talked about, imam ikadeda, there I'm going to have honor and glory, because they understand what I was doing. They knew that I was dancing before God. U'l'michal bat sha'ul lo hayala valad ad yom mota, and Michal bat sha'ul did not have a child until the day of her death. The Gemara says over here that she said to him, in my father's house, nobody was ever able to see any part of the body of the king or any of the members of his family. And here he was wearing a light linen robe, and as he is mefazez umecharker, maybe somebody was able to see his arms and his legs. Clothing. A theme throughout all of Sefer Shmuel Aleph and a good part of Shmuel Bet. I have a number of approaches to this, but the one that I want to share with you today is one that comes from a magnificent shir of Rav Soloveitchik. And it's just, I've gone over it a number of times in the last day, and I'm just flying around. I just hope that I will be able to transmit what he says in the spirit in which he wrote them and the way in which he said it. Yes?
Is there a significance why David didn't accept Shaul's clothing and Shaul's...
Yes. Now, what I did want to say is that I will deal with each one of these individually in order to understand the pshat. Why David did not accept the garments of Shaul, so the Gemara says... The Gemara says, very fascinating, and it's going to raise so many issues. If I get into that, we'll never get out of there. A question that nobody asks, but I haven't found an answer for it yet, but I have an approach. How in heaven's name could Shaul think that the armor that he wore would be able to fit David? Shaul was mishichmo v'malo gavo mikolham. Shaul was the tallest person in Klal Yisrael. He was a head or heads taller than anybody else. How is little David going to wear it? What is even more fascinating, the Gemara says that when Shaul put the garments upon David, they all of a sudden fit him perfectly. Now, if they fit him perfectly, so why doesn't David go out to battle with them? David saw that Shaul's face changed colors. He stood there in absolute amazement as he watches the garments becoming David's size. What's the word that's used for the garments here? Shaul gave him madav. How do we translate madav? His uniform. But what does madav come from? His measurements. His midah. It all of a sudden became the measurements of David. It fits him to a T. What's the message that is being sent min Hashamayim? Malchut is going over to David. In a sense, it may very well be that Shaul, who for 40 days and 40 nights does not have the courage and the strength to go out to fight with Goliath. And there is nobody who's ready to do it. He had hoped all along that maybe it would be his own son who would do it. Yonatan would go out. And what do we find out about Yonatan in chapter 18? We read it. Yonatan is the one who takes his own clothing off and gives it to David. The removal of the clothing or giving the clothing means that he is on some level. Shaul feels that this man who now stands before him and is ready to do battle with Goliath may be the one who will be the next king. And he gives him his garments. Does he want to see if the garments will fit him? Maybe. But what happens is the garments do fit him. David sees how crestfallen and how broken Shaul is. He removes the garments. But all right, I say, each one of these instances, there's a great deal to be said in terms of pshat and medrash. But what's the meaning of clothing? Says the Rav. Obviously, where does it all start? Where does it all start? Adam and Eve. Adam and Chava eat from the Eitz Hadaat Tov V'Ra, and all of a sudden, Vatipokachna, Einei Shnehem, the eyes of both of them opened up, Vayedu, and they knew Ki Erumim Hein, that they are naked. Up until that time, what does the Pasuk say? Vayu Shnehem Arumim, both of them were naked. Ha'odam v'ishto, man and his wife, v'lo yidbashoshu, and they were not embarrassed. They eat from the Eitz Hadaat, and all of a sudden they are embarrassed of their nakedness. Which means something has happened. Here they ate from the Eitz Hadaat because it was an Eitz that is tov l'machol, good for food, tavahu le'inayim, a delight, a passion for the eyes, v'nechmad ha'eitz lahaskil. And this is a tree that is going to give great intelligence, and the only sense and feeling that they have after it is a sense of deep shame and embarrassment. What does it say? So what do they do? Vayitpiru alei te'ina vayasu lehem chagorot. They made for themselves clothing out of fig leaves. Vayitpiru, they sewed for themselves clothing. Is that clothing good enough? No. At the end of the parasha it says that God himself made clothing for them. Vayas Hashem elokim la'odam ul'ishto, God made for man and his wife, katnot or, garments of leather, vayalbishem, and he clothed them. Fascinating. God is concerned that they may not want to take the clothing that he has prepared for them. They may choose and prefer their own fig leaf. So therefore it says, not only did he make garments of leather for them, vayalbishem, he put the clothing on them. When we talk about nakedness or clothing, we are not only talking about a naked body or a clothed body, we're talking about a naked and empty neshama, a soul, and a soul that is clothed and has garments on. The Zohar talks often about nishmatin da'avlin artiloyin, souls that walk around naked. A naked soul represents a human being who is empty of meaning, no content, no goal, and no objective. Those are the naked souls that walk the face of this earth. On the other hand, nishmatin da'avlin artila'in. They go around naked. On the other hand, there's clothing of the soul. There is soul clothing. Soul clothing represents that which makes up the spiritual personality of man. And here the Zohar talks about inun levushin diyakar, the garments, the precious garments, the itlapsha benishmata, with which the soul is clothed. Man is different than all other creatures on the face of this earth. Man is the only one who requires or feels the need to be clothed. Man is the only one who rejects nakedness. And man is the one who's going to spend a great deal of money in order to have beautiful clothing. And here, yes, they need clothing, and the two of them make for themselves the alei te'ina, the fig leaf clothing. The clothing that the Torah is talking about in Parashat Bereishit is not only the clothing to cover the physical nakedness of Adam and Chava. Instead of all of the intelligence and intellect and greatness that was supposed to come as a result of eating from the Eitz HaDaat, all that comes is the sense of shame. They feel spiritually naked because they have rejected God. They have denied the one command that he had given them. The Zohar further says that we learn the secret of what's happening in Parashat Bereishit. We learn in a Braita that it says, Vayiru, they saw ki erumin hem, that they are naked. Yadoa yadu mamash, they knew in actuality. Shelevush hayekar nital mehem, the precious clothing of spirituality had been taken from them. They were empty. They were empty. They would have chosen to use the fig leaf. God makes other garments for them and makes sure that they put it on. What are the katnot or? Now, remember, in Torah it says katnot or, shirts or garments of or, leather. Ayin vav resh. What are these garments that God makes on them? What kind of garments? What kind of garments are they? The answer is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Sarah is going to like this pasuk. You'll see. Exactly. Sos osiz ba'ashem, Yeshayahu says, Sos osiz ba'ashem, I will be full of joy with God. Togel nafshi be'elokoi, my soul is going to be happy with my God. Ki hil bishani, because he has clothed me in bigdei yesha, clothing of salvation. Yeshayahu is not making a political comment when he says that God has clothed me with bigdei yesha. God has clothed me with bigdei yesha. Me'il tzedakaya ateni, he has covered me with the garment of righteousness. Does a body wear bigdei yesha or me'il tzedaka? Bigdei yesha and me'il tzedaka are the garments of the soul. It's that which the personality wraps itself and clothes itself with. How do I get the big day yesha and the mi'il tzedakah? By virtue of the fact that I am sos osis b'Hashem, my joy comes through God, and togel nafshi be'elokai, my soul is full of happiness through my God. That's the simcha and the joy of a person who feels that he is in the presence of God, or that he is living a godly life. He wears big day yesha and mi'il tzedakah. The Rav differentiates between big day yesha and mi'il tzedakah. What is bigdei yesha? What are bigdei yesha? Bigdei yesha, he says, comes from deep faith in the creator of this world, that his divine providence looks down upon man, and one who believes in God's promises in the future. Salvation comes to man, the clothing of salvation, faith in him, his divine providence, and that whatever he has promised for the future is going to happen. What about a man who doesn't have this faith? The man who doesn't have this faith is a person who therefore feels broken, subdued, tossed within the tempestuous nature of a world. A man who feels that he is no more than an object in a world with cruel fate, and he is therefore the child of a terrible fate, and there's nothing that he can do about it. There are all sorts of storms that toss him and turn him from one side to the other. He's open to whatever the elements of a cruel nature are. A person with a soul that is empty and is therefore naked suffers great pain. And when is the pain even greatest? At the moment of tzara, at the moment of trouble, at the moment of loss. One has no anchor, nowhere to go, nothing that is going to give him comfort, nothing that will give him salvation. Big day yesha, The person who does clothe his neshama with firm faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is able to weather all of the storms, is able to overcome the obstacles and the tragedies of life. The Gemara says the following. The Medrash, the Torato shel Rebbe Meir, in the Sefer Torah of Rav Meir, it said, Kotnot Or, not with an ayin, but with an aleph. In the Sefer Torah of Rav Meir, it said that the garments that God made for Adam and Chava were garments of light, that gave warmth, that gave comfort, that were a light unto Adam and Chava. The Rav here becomes extremely, extremely dramatic and very powerful. Who were the Rebbeim of Rav Meir? Who were the teachers of Rav Meir? Rabbi Akiva and Elisha ben Avuya. If one is to take an external look at Rav Meir and Elisha, Rabbi Akiva and Elisha ben Avuya, Elisha ben Avuya was a great success. He betrayed his people. He sided with the Romans. He therefore was protected by the Romans. He never had to fear of a midnight knock on the door. All his needs were provided for. He died peacefully on his bed. What a life! Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva was hated, hunted, pursued by Rome until finally, of course, the tragic death of Rabbi Akiva as they comb his body and remove the skin from him. And what is Rabbi Akiva? The one who says, Kol Yomai, my whole life I waited for this moment. When will I be able to fulfill the pasuk of Yohavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, even if he takes your life? But in the longer view of history, Elisha ben Avuya was rejected by Klal Yisrael. He died alone, lonely. Whatever he said was removed from Torah Yisrael. Is there a Jew today who can move any place in Torah without Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is Chai V'Kayom, exists Ad Hayom Hazeh. What Rabbi Meir was saying is it's not the external garments that make all of the difference. Rabbi Akiva is the one who had the very skin torn off his body. But who is the one that had Kotnot Or? Who had the garments of light and warmth? Who was the one that was full of content? Who was the great teacher of Klal Yisrael? That was Rabbi Akiva. Elisha ben Avuya chose alei te'ena. He chose outer garments, not garments of the soul, not big deyesha, not mil tzedakah. He rejected that. And therefore, he remained an empty shell. And nothing remains of Elisha ben Avuya. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, understood that the real garments of the soul are the katnot, or the garments of light, the garments of leather, God's divine garments. What is Mi'il Tzedakah? Big de Yesha, we have said, the clothing of Yesha is faith. Salvation comes through belief in God, faith in Him, that He is the one whose divine providence guides the Jewish people, and that all of his promises for the future will come true, regardless of what may be happening at the present moment, the ability to rise above the events of the moment. And that was Rabbi Akiva. That was Rabbi Akiva's greatness. That was the big deyesh of Rabbi Akiva. While Chachmei Yisrael, the wise men of Israel, saw churban, they saw destruction, what did he say? As they cry, what does Rabbi Akiva do? He laughs. Because he says, if the prophecies of destruction have been fulfilled, then certainly the prophecies of salvation are going to be fulfilled. He was able to laugh. He was able to laugh at the moment of churban, of destruction. And therein indeed lies the strength of the Jew. We never despair. There's no such thing as despair. Things may be bad, but we will overcome. No such thing as despair. And that was Rabbi Akiva. What is Mi'il Tzedakah? The Rav says that Mi'il Tzedakah is Torah, Chochmah, wisdom, mitzvot, a mind of man that's fruitful, that is creative, that is positive, that is intelligent, that is full of content, that has a goal and an objective, a matara, in life. Says, listen sometimes to the conversations that take place between elderly people. So he says, those who have absolutely no content, nothing, there was nothing of significance or meaning in their life. There will be no content, nothing to speak of, nothing to talk about. All empty words, hevel rochik, nothing. Listen to elderly people who have Torah and who have intelligence within them. Zikne Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara says, the elderly who are Talmidei Chachamim, the older they get, the wiser they become. The Zohar again. V'Avraham Zakein, Avraham became old, bought by Yamim. V'Hashem Berach et Avraham, V'Kol, God blessed Avraham with everything, says the Zohar. Ashreyem Atzadikim, how fortunate and happy are the righteous. Shekol Yemeyem, all of their days are sfunim, they are lifnei ha-melech ha-kodesh, before the Holy God, the Holy King, v'nasim mehem, and all of their days become levushei yakar, very precious clothing, sheyitlabshu behem ba'olam haba, that they are going to wear in the world to come. And that's why the Zohar said, vayedu by odam v'chavo, they knew ki erumim hein, that they are naked. Yodoa Yodu Mamash, they knew that they had lost the precious clothing of a spirit and a shama that's holy. In the morning before a person puts on a talus with tzitzis, one says the pasuk Baruchi Nafshi Et Hashem, let my soul bless God. Hashem Elokad Godal Tamiyot, God, you are very great. Hod v'hodar lavashta, God also is clothed. Obviously not in designer clothing, but clothing that he designed for himself. Hod v'hodar, beauty and majesty lavashta. Ota or kasalma, you are covered with light, like a garment. The clothing of God is light. I think we once pointed out, I think it's Rav Samson of Pearl Hirsch who says it. In Hebrew, the word for a garment is a beged. And what's a traitor?
Okay.
A bogeid. It's also not a political statement. I'm just telling you Rav Samson of Pearl Hirsch. He deceives. He clothes himself as one thing. He represents one thing externally, but internally he's completely different. Beged, therefore, represents the external clothing, that which clothes the nakedness. Me'il, and Bigdei Yeshar, they represent the garments and the clothing of the neshama. What are Alei Te'ena? So we've talked about Bigdei Yeshar and Me'il Tzedakah. What is it that Adam and Chava, what kind of garments did they make for themselves? What kind of garments did they want to wear? They wanted to wear garments made from the leaves of the fig tree. They may not want God's garments of leather or light. God has to put those garments upon them. The Gemara says the following: Ilan she'achal me Adam Arishon, the tree that Adam Arishon ate from, Reb Nechemya says it was a fig tree. And therefore they made garments from themselves, from the fig leaves, shebedobo shekilkulu bo nitkenu, there where they had erred, where they made their terrible mistake, that's where they wanted to correct it. As it says, vayitperu, they sewed for themselves alei teina, fig leaves. You know what the Gemara means? The Gemara means that Adam HaRishon, first man, knew that he had sinned. He had made a terrible, terrible mistake. But he's not ready to admit the mistake. He doesn't have the courage to say, Ashamnu, Bagadnu. He's not ready to make that admission. So what does he do? with the sin itself he covers. He may want to justify it, he may want to rationalize it, he may want to deceive himself, and he makes clothing from the fig tree. The worst falsehood, men can be false. He can go to Shakru Ish Vamito, you shall not be false to your fellow man. The worst falsehood of all is when man is false to himself, when he's not ready to take a look at himself and say, I made a terrible mistake and I have to correct it, I have to do something about it. By their making for themselves the clothing of fig leaves, what they wanted to do was use these garments as a means of a cover-up. It's really what it is, a cover-up. No, it wasn't so terrible. It wasn't so terrible. Man who's not ready to admit to himself that he's made a terrible mistake is the one who's therefore going to clothe himself with all sorts of justifications and all sorts of rationalizations. He will be able to blame everybody for whatever happened to him, but never be able to blame himself. Never be able to shoulder the responsibility. The one who's unable to shoulder the responsibility is the one who's clothing himself in false clothing. The Rav knows a little bit about styles also. He writes that the person usually wants to dress tastefully. What does dressing tastefully mean? Dressing tastefully means the kind of clothing that is going to accentuate the finer part of a person's body or make the person look better. The one who doesn't know how to dress well is the one who's going to dress in such a way that it's going to accentuate negative parts of the person's body. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam who made the garments for Adam and Chava, he's the one who knows precisely what they need and what is going to accentuate the positive and what's going to bring out the best in them. The katnot, the aleita eina that they made, were not garments that were going to bring out the best of them. It means that clothing can very often be no more than some kind of a meaningless statement, completely external, not taking into consideration the inner neshama and personality of the individual. And that's why, you know, at times when we say the emperor is naked, the emperor is naked, we're going to get to that. Where else in Sefer Bereishit is clothing important? Exactly. Shepherd Nachas from you. What happens when Yosef comes to his brothers? When he goes out there, his father sends him, go find out what your brothers are doing. You know what the Pasuk says over there? Vayihi kasher bo Yosef el Echov. When Yosef came to his brothers, you know what the first thing they did was? Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutonto. They took off his ktonet pasim. Et ktonet pasim asher alav. They removed that. They felt that the ktonet pasim was that which represented Yosef's dreams of Malchus. He's going to rule over them. He is the chosen one of his father. They removed those garments. The terrible mistake is they didn't know that Yosef does indeed have the talent and the ability to be the one who is going to rule over them. They think that by removing the outer garment they are changing the inner Yosef. Mistake. You can't do that. The outer garments of Yosef represented the inner neshama, and the inner neshama they have absolutely no way of changing. Huh? Yehuda and Tamar. I thought somebody, you see, because that's all a continuation of the story of Yosef. What do the brothers do afterwards? They take the garment and they put it in blood, they dip it in blood and they bring it to the father and they say to the father, Hakerna, can you identify this? Haktonet binchahi imlo, is this the garment of your son or not? The Gemara says, because of this, what was Yehuda's punishment? That, huh? What's the punishment of Yehuda? The precise same words. What does Tamar say to Yehuda as she's been being taken out to be put to death? Do you recognize, do you identify this? The one to whom this staff and this signet ring belongs. He is the one through whom I am pregnant. So that really it's all one story. And in the end, it's the ketonet that comes back to haunt Yehuda. He thought that he was removing the ketonet of Yosef, but the end is it's his own ketonet that is then presented as his ultimate shame. Yes? If, of course, if the clothing is no more than outer clothing, then of course it's going to bring to kina and to sinna and to all sorts of. When we're talking on the goof level, so the Rav indeed talks precisely about this: hakina, vahatava, vahakavod, honor, glory, jealousy. These are the things that remove a person from the world because they are externals. They're not looking for the internal, true personality of the individual. Right. To be continued. Not there. Another example of clothing. Huh? Alright, there is clothing, Eshet Potiphar. Yeah, but. Alright, yeah, Esau, oh gosh. This is becoming too much. The clothing of Esau. Alright, but it's all going to be understood. It will all be understood. When Ahasuerus asks Haman, and what shall be done for a man? What shall be done for the man who the king wishes to honor? So what does he say? What does he say? Yavil levush malchut. Let them bring the clothing of royalty asher lavash bo hamelech, that the king had worn. Vesus asher rachav alav hamelech, and the horse that the king had ridden upon it. Vashe nitan ketem alchut berosho, that the crown had been upon its head. Because what is Ahasuerus? Ahasuerus is all externals. What does he do for 180 days? Baharoto et oshe kvod malchuso that yikor tifered gedulato yomim rabim shmonim miat yom. He shows the whole world all of his wealth, all of his splendor, all of his treasures. He's a man of externals. Haman understands this, and therefore Haman says, you know, doesn't make any difference. Who's wearing the clothing? It's no more than clothing. What is Ahasuerus indeed himself? He's a pretender. He's not. He doesn't have royal blood in him. He is the one who's killed millions on his way to the kingdom. Is that a kingdom that's meaningful? I think that now we can come to the nakedness of Shaul. For that matter, it really begins in this chapter. In this chapter, as Shaul gives his uniform to David, he may not know it yet, but this is the beginning of a process. This part of the process is where he may suspect that David, either known to him or unbeknownst to him, the torch is being passed. He is passing his uniform to David. When he sees David wearing it, most probably the sight of David wearing the garments of the king is already something to begin to shake him up completely. He's not ready to accept it yet. What is Shaul going to do after this chapter? He's going to pursue David relentlessly throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to go on a tragic journey as David is pursued by Shaul. What does Shaul hope to accomplish with his pursuit of David? He's trying to hide the ugly truth. The ugly truth is that Shaul is guilty. He personally is guilty of losing the kingdom. But he's not ready to admit it. He's not ready to come face to face with it. He's not ready to say, I made terrible errors and therefore the kingdom is being taken away from me. He's not ready to admit that David is the better one. Re'acho ha'tov mecha, a friend who's better than you is the one who's going to be given the kingdom. So what does he do? as long as he can live with the idea that the one who is undermining his authority, the one who is hurting the kingdom, the one who is at fault for everything that's going wrong is David, as long as he's able to tell that to himself, he's able to hide the ugly truth that he doesn't want to come face to face with, that he personally is the one who is guilty of his own downfall. It's not David, it's Shaul. That means Shaul is going to wear false garments. He's going to be deceiving himself on an external level. But then comes the moment of truth. The moment of truth when he is Lifnei Hashem before God, near Shmuel. At that moment, all of the masks are removed. There is no place anymore for falsehood. He comes face to face with the real self, and therefore he removes all of his garments and he sees himself in his absolute nakedness. He arrives at a realization that he's guilty in his own downfall, and it's not David at all. So the garments over here are going to be part of a process. The garments are going to describe to us either the inner struggle or the inner serenity. The Me'il of Shmuel is an indication of a serene soul who is perfectly at peace with himself and with God. The David who dances in absolute abandon with the Ephod Bad, serene. It's Michal who still thinks the way Shaul did. She thinks the externals are important. What are you talking about? In my father's house, one would not see any part of the king's body. And it's David, therefore, who has to tell her, I'm the one who was chosen over your father and your entire father's house. I'm the one who was chosen. Because the externals don't mean anything to me. What means to me more than anything else is the inner neshama, the inner soul. Who's the first one in the house of Shaul to realize the truth? Yonatan. Yonatan. And therefore, how does he demonstrate it? He removes the garments. He removes his garments. He removes all of the externals. He knows what's going on in his neshama and in David's neshama. Nikshara nefesh Yonatan benefesh David. He knows the truth. The fig leaf clothing will no longer help. What one needs now are garments of light. Yonatan is the first one who has the garments of light. He is the one who has the big deyesha and the ni'il tzedakah, and therefore coming face to face with himself, he knows that David is a better man than he, and David is the one who's going to become going to become king. The Rav ends the shir, and I've only given you the highlights of it. He ends it with something that doesn't have much to do with clothing, but it flows from everything that was said. And I think it's important because a terrible mistake is made in understanding this Gemara. There are two women that cry. Rachel, Mevako al Banero, Kol Berama Nishma, voices heard in Ramon, Nihi, Bechi, Tamrudim, terrible, bitter, crying. Rachel Mevako al-Baner, she's crying for her children. Me'analihi Nachem, she refuses to be consoled al-Baneho about her children, Ki Einenu, because they're not here. Incidentally, of course, that's a Rashi in this week's Sedra in Parashat Vayechi, Vani Bevoi, Yaakov tells Yosef, Vani bevoi mi padon, and I, when I came from Padon, meita alai Rachel. Rachel died bo egbereha, and I buried her bederech Efrata. I buried her on the road, and I didn't even take her into the city to bury her. And the magnificent, magnificent Rashi, where Rashi says that Yaakov tells Yosef, Yodata, I knew sheyesh belibcha alai. I knew all your life, Yosef, that you've held it against me, that I didn't bury your mother. If I didn't bury her in the Marat HaMachpel, at least I should have buried her someplace in town, not on the road. So that was a Rashi that Aviva did. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what's the end? So Yaakov tells Yosef, but I buried her there. Al pi hadibur. It was God who commanded me to bury Rachel there. Why? Because after Churban HaBayit, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Jews are going to go out into exile. Who is the one that's going to come out above Kever Rachel and cry for her children? And who is the one that's going to be given the promise that God says, Yesh Sachar Lepulatech, Yesh Tikva La'acharitech, V'shavu Mei Eretz Oyev, and then V'shavu Bonim Lebulam. There is hope for your end. There will be a future. Your children will return to the land of the enemy. So she's Mavaka. There's another woman who cries. Batiyabez Ein Sisra. The mother of Sisra. Batiyabez Ein Sisra. The mother of Sisra cries. She looks out of the window. She's waiting for her son to return. And she looks out the window and he hasn't come back. She's becoming disturbed. She's becoming upset. Why is he tarrying? Why is he late? This is at the end of Shirat Devora. It's Ba'ad HaChalon Nishkafa. The end of chapter 5 in Sefer Shoftim. Ba'ad HaChalon Nishkafa. She looks out of the window. Batiyabev Ein Sisra. The mother of Sisra moaned. Ba'ad HaEshnab. Looking out from the little window. Allah. Madua, and she thinks to herself, Madua Boshesh Rikbolavo, why is his chariot tarrying, late in coming? Madua Echeru Pa'amein Markavotav, why are the footsteps of his chariot, why are they delayed? So, Chokmot Saroteha Tanena, the wise ladies of the court answer her, and Afhi Tashiv Amorehola, she's also going to give the same answer to herself. They're going to try and fool themselves for a little while. Halo Yimtsu Yichalku Shalal, they have found so much spoil that they have to divide. Racham Rachamatayim L'Rosh Geva, one or two women for each man. Shlal Tzva'im L'Sisra, and Sisra is going to have the spoil of all sorts of Tzva'im. Beautiful colored clothing. I never noticed it until now. Shlal tzva'im, rikma, tzeva rikmatayim, the tzavarei shalal. It does fit in with our talk about garments. Oh, he's going to get all sorts of beautiful things, all sorts of embroidered clothing to put upon his throat. Says the Rav, what's the difference between Yevava v'tiyabev ein Sisra and Bechia, the Bechi of Rachel? The difference between Bechia and Yevava is Bechia is crying, sadness, but without despair. There is no despair in Bechia. Vatiyabev is the moaning and the groaning that comes with absolute and total despair. As the mother of Sisra is looking out the window, deep in her neshama, the ugly truth is becoming clearer with every passing moment. She raised and she created a monster. She created a son who is evil. Never once did she tell him what's right and what's wrong, and that at some moment in history, his downfall is going to be certain. And here it is. Maybe for a few moments she's trying to clothe herself with the clothing of falsehood. Ah, he's late because there was so much spoil to be divided. The end is, Kein Yovdu Kol Oyevecha Hashem, so shall all of the enemies of God be destroyed. The realization that the game is over. There's no longer any place for deceiving oneself. No more clothing to cover up, camouflage, and conceal the ugly truth. Sisra is a killer, and that day he got precisely what he deserved. Yevava is despair, failure, absolute failure, coming face to face with that truth. Bechia. Sure, there are sad moments in life. Of course there are moments at which we cry. But cry for the Rachel and for the children of Rachel never means despair. it's never hopelessness. Yesh socha lefulatech, there is reward, v'yesh tikva la'acharitech. Why this is important, why what the Rav says here is important, aside from the fact, of course, that it's absolutely true, is because I have heard people at times say, the halacha tells us, why do we sound 100 sounds of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Gemara says there were 100 groans and aches that came from the mother of Sisra. So there are those who interpret it, take a look. Take a look how deeply concerned Torah is for a Goyish mother too. That even the groans of a Goyish mother are enshrined on the Day of Judgment with 100 sounds of the shofar. Nonsense! Nonsense! That's not what the halacha meant. What the halacha meant was to remind us that absolute evil must ultimately be punished and be destroyed. There is absolutely no feeling that we have for the mother of Sisra. The mother of Sisra created a monster, and what she gets is precisely what she deserved. She was evil, he was evil, and evil ultimately must be destroyed. And that's what Devorah said. And Devorah is a good to Yiddish mama. In Shiraz Devorah, she says, "At shakamti Devorah, shakamti ein b'Yisrael." When Devorah arose, a mother arose in Israel. A Devorah who could have said that she was a prophetess, she was a general, she was a judge, chooses the name, the title, mother. And therefore she says there's a mama, and then there's the mother of a monster. That's what Sisra was. No. We have absolutely no warm spot in our Jewish hearts for absolute evil. No such thing. We don't make deals with Sisras. The point that the Rav is making is that clothing throughout Tanakh, all of the stories that deal with clothing are symbolic, it's meaningful, and each one in its context you have to understand. We're not talking about garments that are external. Take a look. That's why we can understand the description of the garments of Goliath. In order to show us what ends up at the end of the parrot. With all of these great garments that weigh so much, with all of that protection, with all of what he thinks is his external protection, and therefore he's invincible, a little David with his slingshot brings him down. Because ultimately good is going to triumph over evil, and it makes no difference what kind of defenses evil has. That's what the clothing of Goliath is all about. Otherwise, the Navi is going to tell us precisely how much it weighed in order to demonstrate that the real strength of the human being is an inner strength and not the outer strength. The outer strength and the garments of Goliath are no more than a cover-up for a person who's truly nothing. He's evil. He's wicked. And his mother was also wicked. His mother was Orpah. That's what it is. And therefore, as we come to each one of the descriptions about garments, we have to remember what the Zohar says, that there are garments not only of the body, but there are garments of the soul. And the garments of the soul are Bigde Yesha and Mi'il Tzedakah. And in the story of Shaul and David, the garments of Shaul are going to begin to be transferred to David until Shaul finds himself absolutely naked and empty, and then he comes face to face with his inner neshama, and he knows the truth. The truth is, he and he alone is guilty of his downfall. It's not David, it's no one else. That's when he comes face to face with himself, and he sees the absolute inner truth. Man cannot survive with the clothing of fig leaf. Man needs katnot or the garments of leather, the garments of light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava and clothed them with it.